That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a good quick little thing. And the getting people over to your site from the places that you submit content to, that's not a big deal.
No, it's not.
That doesn't fall against anyone's terms of service.
No, it's clean. It's good content. You'll never get banned for creating good quality content. So, if we're going to translate this now into an offline business.
Yeah, let's go with our golf shop owner.
So you're a golf shop owner. What you're doing, I mean, really the only difference is you're naming your content, stuff that's relevant to the location. So if you live in University City, which is part of San Diego, or San Diego Golf Pro Shop, it might be San Diego Golf Pro, but you can do a little research using your favorite keyword research tool, whether it's in Google Keyword or, you know, the one we like is Keyword Spy, fantastic tool. There's also Market Samurai, which is another great tool. But, you do your search. Those things will tell you what the most popular and the most profitable keywords are, and you're essentially naming those, and you can focus on a local area. And then from there, what I do is drive them to a lead cap page where you might say you get a, fill in your contact information for a 10% off coupon your next buy or a free box of balls or something like that that would bring someone into the store. Now, here's what a couple of our customers are doing right now. They actually create a little weekly show. So there's this dude who sells a certain kind of a grill. And what he does is he does a little 7-minute cooking show. He'll sit down and actually do 6 or 7 of these in one afternoon and release one every other week. So you can get about 2 months' worth of content done in a couple of hours. That is great link bait. All right? So inside, if I were a store owner, for example, in a local business, I'd do product demos. I'd say, I want to show you the latest Taylor Club. Well, what happens now is your business name is associated with Taylor Clubs or that specific model number, and you'll probably start getting, leads and contacts coming to your site who might not be in your local business, but if you're smart, you're going to start, creating info products. There's no reason why a local business person can't create info products as well. I don't care if you're a chiropractor or a dentist, And a list is a list is a list. It's free money. And again, if you're a local business, you'll send out coupons and special offers once a month or once a week, or create a newsletter, or just, capture happy customers. I tell everyone, have a flip camera right by the checkout and get testimonials. Great
That's
content
one,
to distribute.
Yeah.
So, you create, for the employees, you get them involved in creating an awesome customer experience.
That's, that one little tip is easy if you are a local business and have that little $120 flip cam with you and
totally
start capturing people that are coming in. All right, so that's a great example for using that. And then what are some of the, how important is, I've heard different things around what you name the video and then how you link to it from a different blog or whatever the case is. I mean, could we literally just use Trafficizer with some keywords and it'll get placement, or do we need to start linking to it from a blog and doing all these different things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So here's what's happened. Trafficizer's been an evolutionary product, and it's been around now over 3 years. We're going on 3.5 years. And originally just submitted to video engines, and then we realized, well, what if we social bookmark the videos? Now, basically a whole bunch of places know about the videos. That's pretty cool. And then we're like, well, there's these social, sites like Facebook and Twitter. Well, we can put the video there and MySpace. Great. Now we're, doing social networking. And then what we did is we supported a whole bunch of free blogs. We're like, well, what about the content? So we added this transcription service. So here's basically what happens right now. When you submit your video, we go out to a whole bunch of video sites. Then what we do is we create a podcast. So if your video isn't in the quote-unquote right format, we convert it into a format that can be viewed on iPods and iPhones and portable media gadgets. And then we notify the social bookmarking sites that the podcast exists, and we go to like a dozen podcast directories. You can also submit blog content, which will also go to article sites, and then we create link relationships with all those. So it's not uncommon for a single submission to get 35 to 260 backlinks per submission. So we're automating the process of creating all the relationships between your content, and it ends up having like a bicycle spoke effect, because someone will say, well, all I want to do is X, and because we're doing it all in one place, it's foolish not to go out to everything and everywhere. And again, what we do to prevent the content from looking spammy or duplicate stuff is we're very cautious about how many places we notify and what the relationships are, and we also don't submit it absolutely all at once. We create several-hour gaps, so Google, very frequently, a single submission might show up multiple times on the same page of Google because it's all coming from a different location, and again, it doesn't look spammy to them. So the key is, again, you'll never get in trouble for creating frequent, original, unique, usable content. The stuff that they don't like is resubmitting the same stuff and just creating spam. You know, it's just junky ads-only stuff. You know, again, your focus should be on establishing yourself as a credible expert and authority on the topic, being absolutely authentic on camera, which is easier than heck to do. Just, you know, I can basically work with someone in 3 minutes and they will feel absolutely natural, and just speak to your intended audience the way you normally do, like they're your friend. And you're going to draw people in, and that content doesn't go away.
What are some of those tips then, Mike? I know obviously it's probably a little easier if you're standing with someone in person and can help them with their presence.
Sure, yeah.
But
here, I'll give you the tip because it's super easy and anyone can do it. It just requires a tiny bit of visualization. So the first thing I do is, you know, and I do this all the time on stage, and I purposely pick someone who looks terribly nervous out on stage, and I say, you know, I'll have them stand up, and I'll ask them what they came up with their top FAQ or SAQ question. And they'll,
right,
their hands will be shaking. They're sweating from their hands. Their voice is trembling. And I go, stop right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. And I say, first of all, breathe through your heart. So I put my hand on their heart. I bring their hand up to their heart. And I go, that's where all your energy is focused. Because right now you're in your head and you're thinking about you. Put yourself in a place of service.
Do you do this with women, too?
Oh, well, very gentle. Yeah,
put your hand
on
their heart.
Because I haven't done it yet. You're a nasty man. Yeah. Exactly. Threw me, yeah.
Screw you all
energy
up.
You ruined my energy, man. Okay, so
my bad. Go back to your place
no, that's
of
fine.
Serving.
Here's what happens. So you're in a place of service. And I say, now I want you to visualize the best customer you've ever had. Or I might have them think about the person that they love the most, okay? I say, bring them into your mind and into your heart right now, and I want you to speak to one person, okay? And I say, do you have it? And I say, who is it? And I have them declare who it is. Or if I'm working with a business person, it's your best customer. So if I said to you, Yannick, right now, you know, who's your best customer you've ever had from one of your products, you could probably find them because it'll be someone who is one of your greatest success stories, who listened to what you said, did everything you said in the order you said it, got massive results, and you're able to tell their story, and they ended up buying all your products on top of it. I mean, that's what we all, you know, we all aspire to, in my opinion anyway, is success.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I did this with Bill Glazer, who is, you know, and he'd even admit it. He says, look, I was terrible on camera. But he picked one person, and from that moment forward, I said, now you speak to that one person, because what's great about it is, not only does that put you in a place of service where you're confident and you're comfortable and you're authentic, but the most important thing is when you speak to your intended audience, more of that type of person is naturally attracted to you. Okay? There are nuances to how you speak, and I believe that like attracts like. So it's a really, really powerful exercise. It takes usually, I can take someone in less than a minute to 3 minutes, and they are, like, completely transformed. And, you know, and the audience goes crazy. And I've got it on camera, you know, a whole bunch of times where there are people who, you know, write me back or they see me a couple months later and walk up and said, you know, that was the most singularly profound experience I've ever had.
That's an awesome tip. I love that. You know, I've always heard different things like, you know, I've studied so much copywriting and some of the sage wisdom is write to one person and think about one customer, but it's never been around this idea of, you know, just having that mentality of finding your perfect customer and then using that same energy to blow that up.
Yeah, it works like crazy. It really does.
That's pretty good. I like that. All right, any other tips on making video more engaging? What's your thoughts around, you know, we've had I'll go with one direction here. So, you know, video sales letters have been popping up a lot right now.
Yeah.
Some people using hybrids where they got video and then they got copy out below. Some people I've seen just going strictly video only. And then video, I could probably put in little air quotes because some of those videos are just literally camtasias of a PowerPoint presentation or something
yep.
like that.
Yeah, and they work. They work really well too.
Yeah. What's your thinking on what works now, where we're heading to?
Yeah. Well, I think the key is whatever sells the most is what works, and I think you, you know, I know people who hate the long form sales letter, for example.
Right.
And it isn't appropriate for certain kinds of audiences. And for video, I believe that authenticity and demonstrating results is most critical. So let's just think for a moment about what have been some of the most successful infomercials ever produced. And that's really what the inspiration for the infomercial toolkit was when we created that product, is I modeled the best, and that's how I became good friends with Joe Sugarman, and he gave me the rights to take his best infomercials and best television experiences or presentations ever and put it in the package, which we, you know, promptly dissected. And if you remember the original, the big hit infomercial he had was with the guy, the rapper in Venice Beach.
Yep.
And I can't remember, Dr. Something. We actually recently created a little video about that.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Actually, I just, Sugarman was our guest in Baja.
Oh, he's so much fun. Yeah, he's a great guy.
I have a funny story for when you're done with this.
Okay, good. So here's what happened is I talked to Joe about this and I interviewed him about it, and what he said that made all the difference is he'd walk up to someone and it was one of those things where it couldn't have been faked, not easily anyway. You know, it was authentic, it wasn't high quality, but he'd hand someone the glasses and say, "Would you put these on and tell me what your experience is?" And the reaction shot, they never showed what it would look like through the camera. It was always the reaction, because they couldn't have simulated it, and the people would go, "Wow!" And then he'd say, "Well, you know," and he'd ask for the glasses back, and they'd want to run away, you know, or they would. They'd be like, "No way are you getting these things back. These are awesome." So, and I think, you know, it's the same thing, you know. How did, is it Famous Amos, the chocolate chip cookie guy? You know, he'd give away little samples, and it's sort of like, you know, when you do foot massages at a trade show, you know, or ice water in South Dakota, you know, going to Wall Drug. It's like by the time you've seen 75 signs saying free ice water is like gold, you know, especially if, you know, back in the old days when we drove, we didn't have air conditioning. But the whole thing is, it's sort of like this repetition and the reaction shots, the response. It's a form of social proof. So we recently did a relaunch, a product launch, and we did very well. We had well over a seven-figure launch with it. And it was all based around proof. And what we did is we took ordinary people who, you know, the classic down-and-out story of someone who hadn't succeeded, failed, did something, followed a simple step-by-step thing, and got a massive result. And it would be harder to fake than it was just for it to be real. And then you interview them and you show them, and, you know, these people are like, they are just like me. So I think, you know, it all comes down to using all of Cialdini's principles. But I think the beauty of using a video only is it forces someone to go through your process, your linear process, in much the same way that a sales letter can. But let's face it, most people just skim. You know, they look for the bullets, the headlines that grab their attention, and they start at the top and see what's the promise, the setup, and then they scroll to the bottom and see the price, and then decide they want to follow through. A video is a lot harder to do that with, and I think being able to control the sales experience is mission critical, and that's one big, big benefit. The real question is, can you tell a compelling story and grab them and speak to that individual and keep their attention? Because from a YouTube perspective, the average length of a video being watched is 3.5 minutes, where there's almost no way you can sell a big ticket item in 3.5 minutes. So you kind of have to do it in chunks. And again, it's all about keeping their attention, but it certainly doesn't require super high-end production. You can do it all with, you know, just a slideshow recording from PowerPoint. I mean, the classic Frank Kern thing when he launched Mass Control, that's basically all it was. And since then, you know, the direct response internet marketing team or group has been evolving and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. But, you know, I'm a big believer personally in a hybrid approach. I think it's important to see the bullets, but you do have to present the value and you have to present the proof. And personality matters. I mean, again, all the same things that work in copy work in video, but it does work a little bit differently.
So then, if you know, the long form sales letter obviously has worked, has been the workhorse forever. Do you have a certain length of time that if we're making a video that the video is going to sell our product, that you're like, okay, well, we can't go beyond 8 minutes, or is it literally like the old copywriting adage of, you know, it can't be too long, only too boring?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, so here's what we find. And during our launch, we delivered close to 50,000 hours worth of video. So, and we used a service called Ooyala. It's O-O-Y-A-L-A.
Wait, spell that one more time.
It's O-O-Y-A-L-A.
Uh-huh.
And we used this service. They're expensive, but they're worth it because what they do is they give you a graph showing how long people stay and where they drop off, and they monitor all kinds of behavior and activity inside the player as well. So what we were able to do is look at, you know, how long people were staying and watching our videos, and basically what we did is we used a classic squeeze page structure where we had an offer that was a couple minutes long that said, I'm about to share with you an XYZ 123, here's the benefit, and here's what you're going to learn, just enter your contact information, see you on the other side. And then they got a longer video, which was typically about 40 minutes in length. Now, the typical thing is I recommend an offer video be no longer than 4 minutes, ideally about two and a half to three minutes, to get them hooked and connected with you. And then the drop-off, here's what happens. You'll lose a certain percentage of people after about 3.5 minutes. You'll lose about just as many percentage-wise. So let's say you're going to lose 40% to 60% in the first 7 minutes. Then after that, up to about 40 minutes, it's fairly flat. You might lose another 10%. So you'll probably get, again, this is assuming you've got good content, they're consuming it and following it. You know, you follow some basic rules of keeping their interest. You can keep about 30% of the people for about 40 minutes, and then it sharply declines after that. Now, interestingly, if you think about TV, you know, you got a typical spot is 30 seconds, and then if you were watching a TV show, they usually have 4 commercial breaks, and there's 22 minutes of content in a half-an-hour program. So they're dividing things into roughly, you know, 6-minute chunks or so. And that follows this format. So whether it's human nature or they've been trained by television, you got to think about delivering things in 3.5-minute chunks that, you know, break, and then you know, give them a bigger break, a conceptual break, and work in threes. So you have 3 main points and 3 mini chunks per chunk. You know, you sub-chunk it. So I think structurally, what I've been modeling lately, and again, I know I'm getting kind of deep here, but a book that I highly, highly recommend that has transformed the way I think about presenting, it's called The Presentation Secrets of Steve Jobs by Carmine Gallo, and that's G-A-L-L-O. It is a breathtakingly great piece of work, and it's causing me now to rethink the way I present information, and I've been adapting some of the systems in there. And I know that, you know, when I present on stage, for example, it's made a big difference in the level of connection I have. And that, to me, is the best way to learn how to pitch with video, is go somewhere and speak. Because you can watch the sparkles in their eyes, and you know when you get them and when you have them and when they're convinced. And you can see their body language. And then when you get to use that same energy in a video, man, do you get results. So, again, I know I went kind of deep and long there.
No, that's good. That's pretty good.